Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, Joe, you ever had a situation, I'm sure, like, you can probably think of one, where you didn't win anything, but you kind of felt like you won something. Like something, relief maybe. Oh, yeah, that's... got over on something. Let me explain.
If you can.
Maybe you felt this way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This morning, I had a breakfast meeting to go to, okay? And had to meet a couple people for breakfast and left the house. And it was about 8 o'clock. Actually, ironically, also had to drive Max to school this morning. I normally don't do that, but there was I had forgot some paperwork in his bag, and the bus was coming and all that. So I said, you know what? I'll just drive there and then I'll go to my breakfast meeting. Well, Joe, as you know, I've talked about this. On my street in the city, it's alternating parking. You know what that rule is, right?
Yeah, you gotta like move your car across the street like at a certain time, right? There's certain spots you can and different times of the day, right?
My street, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you gotta be on the left. Thursday, Friday, you gotta be on the right. You can park on either side on weekends. You can park on either side on holidays. And it's only between the hours of 9 and 4. Before 9 a.m., you can be anywhere. After 4 p.m., you can be anywhere. But if you're on the wrong side between 9 and 4, probably going to get a ticket at some point. So this has happened before. I left the house thinking it's Thursday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My wife is out of town coming back tonight. I have both cars. Her car, which I'm responsible to move on the proper days because I'm not driving it, or my car, both of them, both cars, I have to make sure they're on the proper side. Well, when I left the house today, I said, oh, it's Thursday. Her car's on the right side, which is the correct side.
Uh-huh.
It's not Thursday. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Uh-huh.
So I left and I got to breakfast and I said, oh my God, it's Wednesday. Now, the only reason I realized this is because I was parking on the street where I had to go for breakfast. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's Wednesday. I just left Yana's car on the incorrect side, and at 9 o'clock, it's parked illegally now. Now, I'm not near home, and I'm not going back home.
Right.
Until after I'm done here, before the show. So now I'm thinking, this is a race between me and the parking cop.
Uh-huh.
If I'm done with breakfast, I got to get back to Studio Capaccio here where I'm doing the show with you, Sneaky Joe,
yeah,
on the Extra Point Show. And I got to see if I can, if If they come and I'll probably be there at 9:40, 9:45.
Yeah.
The parking cop's got 45 minutes to see that car and put a ticket. And if not, then I win.
Wow. What do you think your odds are?
I think I'm okay because I have had tickets before. We've had tickets before. Generally, you get the ticket like I've had them in the 9 o'clock hour, but it's generally after the 10:30 hour where they give you a little grace period, but you never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, I'm done with breakfast. It's 9:30. Get in my car. I'm like, got to shoot home. It's not that far away. Come back. Joe, I'm driving down the street. Her car is the only one illegally parked on the wrong side of the street. But I have to wait till I get there to see if there's a red ticket on there, on the windshield.
Yeah.
And it's one of those deals. I'm like, the anticipation is building, right? What's going to happen? Please, don't be a ticket. Don't be a ticket. Pass by the car. Look on. No freaking ticket, baby. I win.
All right. No ticket. That's good. I was going to say, you feel you're in a good enough mood where I think I could have guessed that there wasn't a ticket on there.
Right. But I didn't win anything, right? But I felt like I won something.
Right. You got away with
something,
maybe.
Like, I didn't win a prize.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, you're getting away with something, maybe, a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I got away with something. Got away with being illegally parked for 45 minutes in front of my house. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to deal with that where you live. I think you have a driveway.
Ours, but in the winter, you can't park overnight. So we have to deal with that then where you just have to move it in. But no, not during most of the year. We just, the right side of the street is good for all times. I used to live on a street where there was parking lanes on both sides, which was always great. And that was like a dream. If I had to move my car as often as that, I think that would get really annoying. You might just get used to it, I'm assuming.
Well, listen, we love living in the city. It is one of the, not every street is like that. And people say, how can you deal with that? I don't have a driveway. We don't have a garage. I don't have a driveway. We park on our street. And, yes, there's challenges to make sure that you're on the correct side every day, but you get used to it and you deal with it. And we love living where we live and everything that we need is walkable and it's great. We love the area we live, but that is one of the challenges here. Now, some streets have, you could park whichever side you want, but only on certain months you can't park because it's a bus route and because of snow and plowing. That's why they do all these kinds of things. And I totally get that. But I'd have a tweet here from Shopping Bag Drizzy, who says, you just told the parking cop live you're parked illegally. No, I moved the car.
You were. Yeah.
I am no longer parked illegally. Yeah. The cars are on the correct side of the street. That is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Now that parking attendant's going to be like, I know. I'm going to get Sal next time. Not going to be a next time, pal. All right, I'm going to make sure I have it. That is what happened, though. I left the house thinking it was Thursday. It was Wednesday. I mean, that happens sometimes. And if I think it's Wednesday, but it's Tuesday, it doesn't matter. But because it's the one day you have to change the parking side of the street, that's what matters. We went to Australia, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
We have neighbors. I was gone for 12 days. We gave the neighbors both sets of keys and said, could you please move our cars on those days? They'd move them back and forth for us a couple times.
Man, that's a good neighbor, too. That's not like, can you bring my garbage cans in for me?
Right.
That's not, can you grab the mail for me? That's, can you get in my car, swing it around, park it to the other side, and then do that, what would it be, twice, or no, like a couple times a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to make sure, well, it depends. What you generally do is you make sure on Sunday night when you park. Sunday night is like a, it is a game. It is a contest on Sunday nights here where I live because everybody wants to make sure they're on the left side of the street on Monday morning. It's a one-way street, by the way. Everybody wants to make sure they're on the left side of the street on Monday morning because that way you don't have to move the car. Now, if you're going to work in the morning, it doesn't matter before 9 a.m. But if you drive on my street on Sunday night, all the left side of the street totally fills up before anything on the right side because people don't want to get up in the morning and move the car from the right to the left.
Hmm. I'm glad I do not have to deal with this. The more I'm listening to
exactly.
you talk about it.
So that's the mental exercise you have to do here. All right, mental exercise, physical exercise, everything. For the Buffalo Sabres, yesterday, Kevin Adams spoke about the firing of Don Granato. And I know you and Jeremy touched on a bunch of stuff he said today. And I I want to tell you, I agree 100% with what you've said, and I know Jeremy has agreed with this, and you've said it perfectly, which is he has put himself in a position here. I'm not going to say painted himself into a corner. That sounds negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's painted himself into a corner. But, Joe, he has made it clear what he wants in a head coach as far as saying NHL coaching experience. And, by the way, that means head coaching experience. Do you know how many times people tweeted me yesterday, well, he didn't say head coaching experience. What do you think he means? Of course he means head coaching experience. You don't say I want the next coach to have experience and just mean as an assistant on a bench. Now, you'd have to spin it that way if it happened. But, Joe, yeah. he made it clear that is what he wants. And if he doesn't get that, you are 100% right that that will be a failure on his part that he will have to own up to.
Right. And I think it should be incredibly hard for them to not get somebody that fits the bill, right? Like somebody out there, even on the lower level. I heard Todd McClellan's name come up yesterday, who is not like Stanley Cup winning coach. I mean, he's been around for a while now, but Todd McClellan's of the world, you know, Mike Yeo. Like you can find coaches that are not on anybody's radar that have coached in the league before as your like plan Z, if you will. But I think the amount of conviction he spoke with yesterday and the amount of specifics lead me to believe he's got a guy in mind that he thinks he's getting. Like there's one name, I don't know who it is, but there's a name in his head that not only is the guy he wants, but I think he must have some high level of belief that he's going to get his guy, because I don't think he would have sounded, he wouldn't have had as much conviction yesterday while saying that. So then we can figure out like who that is. I mean, I think Lindy is the favorite, because if you're talking with that much conviction about this is the guy, this is the right guy for the job, and I know what, like I have a plan, that to me sounds like you don't need to interview the guy. You might, and you might do a coach search, but he sounded to me yesterday like the guy he has in mind, he doesn't feel like he needs to interview. And who are guys you typically don't need to interview? People you've worked with before, right? And right. Who's he worked with before? He's worked with Rod Brind'Amour as a player for 7 years together, and he's worked every day with Lindy Ruff for multiple seasons as Lindy's assistant coach. Those are the top two names that I'm thinking about right now, just because if Adams is going to talk that way with when it comes to the coach, like it just makes me think he's talking about someone that he knows well.
Agreed with that. I want to not go totally as far as like he's got a guy. I think he's obviously has a short list, right? But I don't know if I can get fully to there's a specific guy I'm getting and I know I'm going to get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's the case, I mean, we could bandy about the names. I still think you hold out for it and maybe you have a chance. Maybe does he think he can? No, he can get Rod Brind'Amour? Is that possible? I know that it seems like it's very unlikely given his contract situation. You have to wait on him. That's the biggest deterrent there, right? Waiting on him. What if he has to go that deep into the playoffs? Totally agree with you. I heard you on that today. I know that. But man, he does sound super confident. But yes, he has put himself into a position here where if he comes out of this search with a guy that has never coached as a head coach in an NFL, an NHL game, he's going to have to stand in front of the media and own that and say, what spin would you put on that?
It'd be tough, right? Like, I don't even know what it is. That's why I just don't see them ever ending up there because, right, like your question, like, what's the spin? I don't think there is a spin. Everyone will know exactly what happened. If they just end up at Seth Appert, like, there's no way to me you're spinning that. And the coach would know that, right? Like, If they went to Seth Appert in a month and said, "Hey, we want to interview for the head coaching job, and we think we might want to give it to you," I mean, doesn't Seth Appert? He might be fine. Like, okay, this is my opportunity. I don't care how you ended up here, but he probably saw Adams yesterday talk about this. Like, he would know that. Like, you didn't want me for this. Like, you're only coming to me now because you didn't get your guy that you were looking for. So I don't even know how that dynamic would really work out. By the way, when asked about Appert, he was asked specifically about him. He said that he thinks he has a bright future, but right now he wants him to squarely focus on Rochester. I mean, that's not what you say about a guy if you are thinking about him for the job. I think it's maybe even responsible to not take the leap I am of he's got one guy in mind and that's it. Like, he's got a guy in mind. So I like that you're in that camp. The reason – I think you could be on both sides. The reason I am jumping to he's got one coach in mind was a specific answer he gave to – I forget which reporter it was, but a question about do you see a number of candidates out there that kind of fit the bill for what you're looking for? And his exact comment was, I have very specific thoughts on a number of coaching candidates, but I'm not compromising on what I need this, what I think this team needs. I'm going to get the right guy. Just that, the way he said that, I'm going to get the right guy, makes
that
me think.
Conviction.
Like, that's, you know, you could have very easily answered that question with, I do think there's a series, we'll have a search, you know, that we'll see. I just think he could have answered it differently, and he chose not to, and it makes me think that he's got a name in mind, but it doesn't have to be that, and it also doesn't have to be that he'll get a guy. The problem with Brind'Amour that you just alluded to, Brind'Amour could be the guy he was thinking of yesterday, but you don't know that you're getting, I don't think you can know you're getting Brind'Amour. Even if you know Rod Brind'Amour as well as Adams does, do you know that's going to happen? What if they win the cup? They are the Stanley Cup favorites. Sitting here right now, the Carolina Hurricanes are the betting favorites to win the Stanley Cup. They are. Plus 650.
Wow.
They are the betting
favorites.
Rangers
won the President's Trophy, right?
Yeah. I think it's partially because, I think a little bit, the Hurricanes play the Islanders in round one, which most people think is like the easiest matchup, or one of them. So I think that probably gets to that. But, okay, they're the favorites. What if that comes to fruition? What if they go on a two-month run to the Cup, and maybe they win it? One, you got to wait 2 months, and what happens if he stays? What happens if, well, we won the cup, so now the situation's changed. I don't want to leave on this terms after becoming the champions, or unfinished business. We made it to the finals. I don't want to leave yet. Like, things could change, and in 2 months, if you've put all your eggs in the Brind'Amour basket, now, this is kind of how you get to, well, you don't get your guy because who's available in 2 months? Craig Berube might be a guy you like. Is Craig Berube still available in 2 months if there's going to be six head coach openings and someone's probably going to offer him a job? Lindy probably is still out there, I would think, at that point. But it would just feel a little risky, I think, if they were putting all their eggs in the we'll wait until the Hurricanes get eliminated for Brind'Amour basket.
Yeah, I like all that. I agree with it. Boy, he did sound... It is such a different tone than, and look, this is even a criticism when people say this, because I think that you want to hear this sometimes when coaches are fired. How many times, I envision Russ Brandon in this, doing this, which is whenever the Bills would fire a head coach back in the, you know, early 2000s and through the 2000s, and you'd get Russ Brandon up there and going, we're going to cast a wide net and search and find the right person for this job. We're going to no stone unturned. That is not what Kevin Adams said. No stone unturned. What he said was, I have stones that I'm looking at that I'm going to turn that one over. And there's my guy. That's a far different thing that we've heard from in the past when it comes to coaching. And I don't blame anybody when they say no stone unturned, wide net, wide cast. Joe, this is the narrow net that he's casting. Like, you're going fishing for a specific fish here. You're not, I'm going to throw my line in, whatever it is. Woohoo, let's go, baby. Get it in the boat.
Yeah. Man, he just hit every note yesterday that I think he needed to. That was an upset for me. Like, the way Adams has talked in the past, like, that was a, I want to preface this with, I'm saying this as a compliment. That was like a Tim Murray-esque press conference yesterday, where you're just kind of not afraid to let it loose and give the fans what they want to hear and, you know, tell them your honest opinion of things. And I think that was the exact note Adams needed to play. There's been far too much Botterills and Housleys and even Granato and Adams to an extent of, guys, don't worry, everything's fine here. Like, no, that's not going to get fans engaged. right? That's that type of thought process or attitude is not going to get fans engaged right now. I think, you know, you'd want to believe that behind the scenes that all those guys that have been employed in those jobs have been mad or angry or not satisfied with the results, but you just very rarely hear good evidence that they're upset about the results. And Adams yesterday just gave you everything you would have been looking for on that front. Yep. That not settling for this. And that came when he was talking about what he's looking for in a coach. It also came when he was talking about the players, I thought. The comment he made about how, you know, it's go time, or it's time, the time to win is now, when talking about his message to the players, or also when he talked about the arrogance, right? He said, the quote he said was, "We got to earn it. We should have never had any arrogance coming out of that locker room. We haven't done anything. We haven't made the playoffs yet." Like,
that was, by the way, that was in response to a specific question about that.
Like, about, he didn't, yeah.
He didn't
right.
think about, I like the word arrogance might have even, I don't know if it was in the question, but there was a question about how the locker room sounded last year.
Yeah.
And his response was, well, it better not have, because we shouldn't have done that. And if it was, it's wrong. Which, you're right. Like, that's what he said. It wasn't like a natural thought of his that he said, we shouldn't be arrogant. We haven't won anything. Someone basically asked him, I don't remember the question, about how, hey, last year, hey, yeah, look how this great thing we're doing, and we're going to be so good next year. And he's like, yeah, like, we shouldn't have talked like that, I guess, right? False sense of confidence and arrogance right there. There was one other thing that I have to make sure that I want to touch on here that's really important that he said yesterday. We'll first get to Steve in Albany, though. Steve, you're on the Extra Point Show. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
Good. So, I listened to the whole Kevin Adams press conference yesterday, and I don't know. I think, Joe, you might be in my head from a couple weeks back that you're talking about this, even prior to Donnie being relieved of his duties. I'm not going to lie. I felt like that whole press conference, Kevin Adams almost had like a white canvas in front of us, and he was painting the picture specifically to the fans of the candidate he's looking for. And by the end of it, you know, we all had a perception of what that picture was by the end of the picture being painted.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
For me personally, I think it's Lindy. I don't know, man. I mean, there's just too many connections between Kevin and Lindy. And then there's this overall thing that I think is just the swaying thing in my own brain, which is his connection to Buffalo, his want and urge to possibly coach the Sabres again. And just everything else that he talked about in that press conference checks the box. But the biggest thing is the publicity aspect of it. This fan base is wounded based on this playoff drought, and there's not a lot of positives that come out of it. I mean, look at the fan base towards the tail end of the season relative to them being out of it. That place was empty, and I just think I think a lot of the times the fan base is very demoralized based on this drought, and I think Lindy could alleviate a lot of those pain points for us. So I don't know. I think not only does he check a lot of the boxes relative to what Kevin Adams is looking for and what he proved with a young team in New Jersey and what Jack Hughes even said about him being like a father figure almost to him, that fits a lot of the mold of what the Sabres are looking for in a candidate. But he also fits the narrative and the publicity. Like, what Sabres fan is going to sit there and say, yeah, that was the wrong move, or I didn't really like the Lindy Ruff move? I just think there's too much nostalgia there and too feel good based on thinking about the good times when he was the coach for us.
All right, so Steve, really good thoughts there. I don't disagree with you on Lindy and a lot of things you said. I think here's the issue, though, Steve, with what you said and how I'm going to tell you the other way, too, the pushback on that. Joe, you've seen it. You've heard it. People have called your show, this show, our show, afternoon show. They've tweeted in. There's a segment of fans who want nothing to do with Lindy Ruff simply because this is what we always do. And when Steve says the publicity aspect, that's actually a reason not to do it. Don't do it just for publicity. Not that they would if they hired Lindy. Mm-hmm. But there is a segment of fans, Joe, that we've heard from that are tweeting us as we speak, that are calling us and saying, I don't want to retread like Lindy. I don't want someone who's done that. Go get somebody else. Why do we always do this? That's the pushback you're getting on the other side of it.
Right. I want to respect that and also respect that line of thinking because – for the most part, I tend to agree. Like, when they hired Housley, you know, bringing back Nolan was different because I just think they knew they were about to tank and they needed to do something to make right. the fans somewhat happy, and they knew that would do it. So that almost doesn't even count for me. You know, Housley, though, is nostalgia, right? We're bringing back a guy we know that used to play for the organization, and they've done that with a bunch of stuff. I want to respect that and also say that I think the other stuff outweighs it. I don't think you're bringing Lindy back just to bring Lindy back. If he had not been coaching in the league the last 5 years and had just been, he was an assistant at one point for the Rangers. If he had just been the assistant for the Rangers the last 5 years, then I would agree that what am I doing that for? But the fact that you do have a recent track record of success with a young team on the New Jersey Devils, I think makes me want to believe that he still got it, that he still knows the buttons to push. And I know that this year he just got fired, but their goaltender got hurt. Like, it's very hard for a coach to overcome that. Your goalie getting hurt and then your backups being at it, playing at an AHL level. It was almost impossible. Look at what the Devils did, by the way, after they fired Lindy. It was the exact same, if not even worse, because they just didn't have the goaltending. So I don't want to put this Devil season on him. And I don't want to give him the full credit for last year. I've heard now Paul said this, and we had Pete Blackburn on this morning, who mentioned that Andrew Burnett being on the Devils staff had a giant influence mm-hmm. on the season the Devils had. But listen, I don't want to take all credit away from Lindy and what he did in New Jersey. What Hughes has said about him, the knowing when to push the right buttons youth-wise and knowing how to coach a team like that. I just want to believe he still got it. And if the little cherry on top is it's going to make the fans happy because you only have good feelings about Lindy, then to me that's a bonus. It's not the reason that I'm doing it, mm-hmm. but it is, you know, it is there. It does exist that I think fans, on opening night, if he were the coach and they introduced him, the place would probably go crazy.
There's a couple other aspects of yesterday's press conference I want to touch on. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your phone calls. Coming up at 11:05, Luke Lipinski is going to join us, right? I think it's Luke. Luke Lipinski is going to join
us. Yes. Yep.
And this is he covers the Arizona Coyotes what's the situation going on in Arizona? And, you know, hey, we'll touch on, you know, this as well, and, you know, how it's viewed around the league with the Sabres. But mostly, like, the Coyotes, their arena situation, are they moving to Salt Lake City? It appears, though, that's the case. But we'll talk with Luke about that. We have plenty of time to take your phone calls. The Sabres, their players are actually meeting with the media. I think they're having, like, locker cleanout day today, and we're going to start to hear from players and what they have happened to say. And if Paul has time later in the show, he'll kind of join us, but he's down at the arena doing all of that today. When we come back, one word wasn't the arrogance that we talked about, and that was a key word Joe brought up, but another word that starts with an A that I thought was really interesting that Kevin Adams brought up, I want to talk about here on the Extra Point Show. Back here on the Extra Point Show, are we good? You got me, Joe? Both Joes, Joe Kelly, Joe DiBiase. I don't know if we had a glitch there or not, but we are here. We're ready to rock and roll to bring you more of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and your phone calls. Let's head out to Mark in Buffalo. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR.
Hey, hi, Sal. Joe, I got a question. Do you think, I think Lindy would be my third choice. I think it's Berube, something like that. Mm-hmm. Got to have a man's coach. Just a really good coach, or Gerald Gallant. But do you think, now, how close is Kevin Adams to Rob Brendamore? Do you think maybe 3 months ago at the All-Star break, having dinner, he winked at him and said, man, I'd love you to be my coach. And he winked back at him and said, I'll be there for you. That's between the two of us. Could that have happened?
So, in terms of how close they are, I don't know other than what's been said, which is that, you know, they're friends or whatever. They played together in Carolina from 2001 to 2007. So they were together for a long time. I will say this. I don't think you, and I, this might even break certain rules about tampering. I don't know if it were to be true, but I can't imagine if you're Kevin Adams that you would be willing to wait as long as it would take, unless you are darn sure that he's coming. Not even that he'd leave Carolina. If you knew, if I told you right now, Brendamore, if it was reported today, Brendamore is going to leave Carolina, but you don't know if he's going to go to Buffalo or not. You willing to wait 2 months? By the way, I say that question knowing it doesn't have to be 2 months. The Islanders are, you know, the Islanders. They could get upset in round one, and then in 2 weeks he's available. But you know what I mean. Like, you, I feel like you can't wait.
I think
unless
you have
you
to
know...
have some sort of really. I don't even. It's got to be some sort of assurance. It's got to be, or you can't wait.
Not, and I'm right, exactly. And I mean not assurance that he would leave. Assurance that he would come here.
That's what I mean. Like you, if you're Kevin Adams. You have to have that. I don't think you can do it. Even if Brendamore said, look, I know there's a lot of reports. I'm going to sign it. It's just things aren't going as great. There's some relationships there I got to work through. I don't think I'm going to go back. I just don't know what my next move is. Even if he said that, I don't think you can wait if you're Adams. I think you have to have him say, buddy, if you have an opening, I'm there.
Yep. I'm in agreement. I think Berube is a very realistic idea. I mean, I would, if I were... think if you put me in charge of setting the betting odds of who's going to be their next coach, I would probably put him below Lindy. Actually, I would almost definitely put him below Lindy, but he fits a lot of what Adams talked about. He has pedigree. He's an experienced NHL coach. He has a cup. I mean, it's not like they've been a dominant, consistent cup contender since. They've been a playoff team a couple of times. But they haven't gone on like any deep runs since that first season he was in St. Louis. But he does fit. And I think amongst the other guys, like Boudreau comes up, he's too old. He's 69 years old. I just can't see that being a real idea for them. There's other names that come up. Tortorella is probably going to stay in Philadelphia now, it looks like, so we can kind of put that to the side. I think amongst all the other non-nostalgia names that aren't Lindy Ruff or getting Brendamore back or... to come here, I think Berube might be like he's the next guy, I think.
It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sal Capaccio, Joe DiBiase. All right, so I thought it was really, it's great, the honesty of trying to find the balance of a guy who has to coach in today's world different than it used to be. What did Adam say? Hey, when I came in the league, you were scared of your coach.
Right.
Like, you know, you just didn't even want to talk to him. That's not the day we are in, and you don't want that anymore. However, you also can't just be completely always, you know, coaches, you know, the player's coach and the friendly guy. Like, you got to have a delicate balance. And I agree with that. I think it's got to be some, that's the thing you're looking for, to strike that balance of someone that, hey, you're going to play and do it this way, and there's going to be accountability. And if you're not doing it this way, but also I got to have a relationship on how we can effectively communicate and not just never want to speak to one another. That is a tough balance. But that one word in there, Joe, accountability. Boy, he brought that up a few times yesterday, right? Like, the accountability. And what was how he said, like, from the day one of training camp? Was it like the expectations, accountability, whatever it was, like how he brought that up? I thought it was really interesting because I'm a culture guy, big time, as you know. I think culture matters in sports. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's not the most important thing. You have to have talent. It doesn't matter. If you're not talented, you're not going to win. But you can overcome a gap in talent if you have a right culture and the culture that works for you. You can do that. I think you're much less likely to win if you don't have that kind of culture, even if you are talented. But if you aren't as talented, you can still bridge that gap. Typically, when we talk about culture, and this has been something I've talked about for many years, we've had shows about it, we've had debates about it. Typically, we talk about culture in sports, we talk about how it's good or bad, the right people, are they doing the right things off the field or off the ice, are they getting in trouble? That's not the culture here I'm talking about. I think Kevin Adams alluded to a culture problem yesterday. Not the kind of culture problem they have bad guys in the room, not at all. They have great guys in the room, great human beings, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
The culture problem they have, Joe, is, apparently, after listening yesterday, it strikes me as they were not accountable to each other or to their coaches. And for him to go as far as he did to talk about that was pretty stunning to me, because this seems like, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, it seems like he was pretty much putting it on Don Granato that he didn't create a good enough culture of accountability in that locker room, and the players basically did not stand up for how they had to effectively go out and on the ice every single day to make sure that it mattered that much to them.
Yeah. Well, let's say that's a problem. How do you fix that? I mean,
okay,
the coach is a way to do that. I wonder if it just internal, maybe now turning over the locker room to the players could help that. Because I'll say one thing, they're repeating bringing back Kyle Okposo certainly didn't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been, it doesn't have to be all on Okposo, I know, but That guy, in the 8 years that he was here, I feel like I've been hearing that question every single year, that guy's been a leader in the locker room. So again, not saying it's him that caused it, but a change, like a new voice in the locker room from the player standpoint. Mm-hmm. Maybe Darlene can be the guy that drives that, or maybe they need someone else from out of the room. Or maybe it is the coach, right? I mean, the accountability word got thrown around a lot yesterday and in that press conference, and it might feel like Adams thinks the coach he's about to bring in could maybe be the solution to what we're currently talking about.
I agree with that. It is a great question, though, you ask, which is, how do you change that? If it's got to be, in some way, it's got to be player-driven, right? But do you have that personality in the room to be able to do that? Look, there are all, if you, in any walk of life, you always have different types of leaders. There are leaders, and there's no one right way to lead. A leader can be a leader in many forms, but I do think there's a right way for certain people that you're leading. What I mean by that is, Kyle Okposo, to me, is probably a really great leader for the example he sets on how hard he works, how he approaches his job every day. But he's also not an in-your-face, get-in-your-face and tell you, scream at you, or however it goes about. That's not, it seems like Kyle Okposo is. And you don't have to be like that necessarily. But maybe this group needs it, Joe. Maybe this group needs someone in that locker room to do something like that, to be someone like that. You don't always need someone like that. Chris Drury basically was like that, right?
Yes.
Chris Drury was a guy that, but they don't come around very often. Mark Messier's don't come around very often. It's not that easy to be like that. I get it. You don't find, those leaders don't grow on trees. And when you have one, you don't want to get rid of one, okay? But you need people sometimes in a different type of leadership capacity at different forms of not only their stages, but who they're leading, especially in their stages. And what I got out of yesterday was, this group is a really great group of guys. They're together. They like each other. They play for each other. But man, they don't have someone who really impresses upon them how important every single time they step on the ice and how important every single shift is to be accountable to one another, and it's not just about going out there and having fun. And I don't know the answer to that. Can that be the coach? Maybe. I think it has to be someone who has to be able to do that from their own peer group. And I don't see anybody on that roster that screams that to me right now.
I do wonder it about Dahlin. I mean, maybe he'll feel the ability to grow in that way, but I don't know that. I liked what Pete Blackburn from the What Chaos show on YouTube, which is one of my go-to listens on like around the league stuff. He was on with me and Jeremy this morning at 8:30. I liked the way he put this, which was the Sabres need to go from being a team of a bunch of kids to they need to become an adult hockey team. Like,
yes,
they need to become an adult hockey team.
Didn't Adams basically say that yesterday? There's no more excuses about being young.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, you know, that's interesting too, right? Like, because, you know, they are still going to probably be the youngest team in the league. So it's all well and good to say no more talk about them being young, but they are still young, which now that will lend itself to more of a roster build question. Like, okay, no more talk of being young. I know he's probably referencing more of the players that are here already, but what are you going to do this offseason? Because you've got an opportunity here. You can make the team older if you want. You don't have to go get Joe Pavelski, who's 39 years old, but you could go try to find guys that are closer to that age 26 to 32 age range and make your moves that instead of, I mean, we'll talk about them more in the offseason. They have 3 first-round prospects that are all ready to get a shot at the NHL. Like, it's time for Savoy, it's time for Rosine, and it's time for Kulik. And the way Adam sounded yesterday, no way, no how are more than one of those guys making the team, if even one of them, next year.
You know who I just thought about? And I'm looking him up right now. He did not play last year. What is his situation? You could tell me, oh yeah, there's no way. Like, I don't remember why. What's Jonathan Toews doing?
You know, that's funny. I thought about him last week.
That's the kind of leader you need.
He is, so just an update on Toews.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He left Chicago and left the league with I think he called it to focus on his health. And maybe there were questions about his health struggles in the final years. He didn't say retired. He said he'd be sitting out the season to focus on his health. He had been a ghost for like 6 months until I believe it was last week. He posted on Instagram basically that he's doing well, and it was a picture of him surfing. So
okay, go get him.
Yeah.
That's enough for me. Go get him.
That also might, you know, if you are someone that has been obsessed with getting Patrick Kane to come here, he might be more tempted if you bring his buddy too. Are we in fantasy land though right now? Did we just bring up the hypothetical of Toews and Kane coming here next year? Because that would achieve everything we're talking about, I think.
I know. It sounds like I'm talking from 2017. I get it. Like, I understand that. But the overall point is here, I just said, those guys aren't easy to find. He's not playing on a team right now. I know he's 35. I don't know what he has left. I need someone to walk in that locker room and command leadership immediately and command respect immediately. And he doesn't have to yell it and scream at everybody. But he's got to be someone that is willing to do that if it ever has to happen. He's got to be able to look somebody in the eye and tell them, you suck tonight and you need to do this better. I mean, that's what these people do. And he's got Stanley Cups to go along with it. So that's an example of a guy. Whether it's Toews or not, that's the guy that comes to mind because I'm thinking about recent leaders, guys who could be available, somebody who could walk into that room and have a Chris Drury type of effect. Because to me, yesterday, Kevin Adams was screaming for that, the way he was talking. They didn't have that this year, and they didn't get it from their coach, who, by all indications, was fantastic for allowing them to grow from where they were, from their stages of development to where they are now. but not the right guy to get them to the next step. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Luke Lipinski at 11:05 a.m.
In my mind, as I've clearly thought about this, you know, knowing that, you know, where we are now, those conversations will happen starting this afternoon. I'm going to move forward as quickly as possible because I have a very clear direction in my mind of where we're going to go. But previous NHL head coaching experience, pedigree is important.
Kevin Adams right there. Yesterday, today, Sabres players are talking. Jeff Skinner has wrapped up his media session. Our intention, Joe, we're going to try and give everybody that interview at 11:30 from Jeff Skinner. But Paul's down in the locker room now. It's locker clean out. When we hear from people, Paul will shoot that sound back to us. We'll have Luke Lipinski at the top of the next hour, but maybe even before that. We'll get to Jeff Skinner a little bit later and hear what he has to say. Speaking of Skinner, one thing about Brind'Amour. Every time I talk about Brind'Amour, yeah. I've had how many people tell me, well, that means you don't have Jeff Skinner anymore. First of all, I don't know if that's true. It's not easy just to move the contract of Jeff Skinner. They could buy him out or whatever. Also, I don't care. I don't care. If you're telling me you can get Rod Brind'Amour, but you have to lose Jeff Skinner, I don't care, Joe.
Yeah, I still don't see how you're getting rid of Jeff Skinner, though.
Right.
So you'd
have to buy him out. That would have to be it.
And I just think that's very, very hard to do. Like, I think they'd have to coexist probably for a year or two, which
I agree with you.
I don't think is that impossible. Listen, like,
no,
he's not every coach's favorite player, I'm sure, and we'll see what they're going to get out of him going forward. But right, like, that to me is kind of a I'll worry about that. That's such a smaller piece of the puzzle. Like, I'll worry about that once, you know, they actually get him through the door.
All right, let's go out to the phone lines right now. Tim in Buffalo. Hi, Tim. You're on WGR.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Question, and it's kind of like Joe from his last comments about the Sabres being the youngest team in the league. Yeah, I agree. They are the youngest team. But take a look at the games played by these guys. I mean, like Dahlin, Tuck. I'll give you J.J. Paterka, and I'll give you Quinn and Benson. But the rest of that team, these guys have played an awful lot of games in the NHL over the course of the past, what, 2, 3, 4 years?
They have.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean, they're still relatively inexperienced compared to a lot of the teams they're fighting with.
Yeah.
They're also very inexperienced in goal as far as games played.
Yeah, like, they're not rookies. Like, I understand that. They're not rookies. They've been through multiple seasons together. But, right, there are numbers on this that you can find. Like, experience for the group as a whole, they have played, maybe this was coming into the year, 9,600 games as a total team. That's 26th in the NHL. So it's better than what their average age is, but right, they are not, you know, they're not the Lightning. They're not battle-tested throughout, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs after a bunch of different years. So that'll be something I'm sure they'll want to add. But, man, just, you want to add it without just doing it just to do it, right? Like, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like they signed Eric Johnson just because of the experience. They signed him just because of the leadership, mm-hmm. just because of the age. And that's not what you want to do. You want to target guys that are going to be productive players for you that, sure, you might have to overpay a little bit because when guys have both the playing and the ability to play and the experience, you usually have to pay up a little bit. So, but the Sabres are in a position with all of their assets where, all right, you want to overpay a little bit in a trade or in a free agent signing for a guy like that? You're in a better position now to do that than you ever will be before you have to pay even more guys.
Luke Lipinski on the other side, we'll talk with him about the Arizona Coyotes situation. Are they going to be in Arizona next year? Are they going to be in Salt Lake City? It certainly sounds like that. What is the arena situation and with their franchise as well? Jeff Skinner is already done talking with the local media on Locker Cleanout Day. We'll bring you that interview as well as many others who might come our way while Paul Hamilton is down at KeyBank Center this morning. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls on after this.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We'll get with Luke Lipinski in a little while here this hour. He covers the Arizona Coyotes, and we'll try to figure out and make sense of what's going on in Arizona and get a little bit more detail on that situation with them possibly moving to Salt Lake, which I think is pretty much what people expect at this point, right, Joe, that they will be in Salt Lake next year?
I think it would be stunning at this point if they were not. Like, it feels like it's way too far gone, and there's an arena there. Just, yeah, it's all the moving parts. Like, they're definitely going.
Let's head out to the phone lines. Michael in Buffalo. Go ahead, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Wanted to talk about how the last 2 years the Sabres have started off the season extremely slow. And if they didn't start off the season slow, they'd be in the playoffs both those years. And we would never be talking about Don Granato being fired. Now, in a Behind the Two Stalls, there was an interview with Tage Thompson, and he talked about how in the beginning of the season workouts, they did a bike drill. And everyone on the team was gasping for air, hands to their knees, except one player, Rasmus Dahlin. This was extremely glaring to me, and I'm really starting to question the players' dedication to the game. Like, what are you doing in the off season if you can't come to camp condition? And I think Adams kind of touched on this yesterday at the press conference when he said there is a lot of arrogance coming out of the locker room. And I'm not trying to put the players on blast, and I could be wrong, but it really starts to make you wonder. It's glaring and it's alarming. And you look at some of the players like Dylan Cousins. He weighs, what, 165 pounds soaking wet, and he plays as a center, as a two-way forward? Like, you need to put some weight on. I don't know your thoughts on that, but it's something that's been bothering me for a while now.
I will say this without 100% knowing the exact test, the biking thing that we're talking about, but the Wingate bike test that they do in hockey a lot, I know they do it at the combine. I don't know if this is what they did when the Sabres got to camp too. The design of that test is basically you bike until you puke. Like, it's basically right. How far you can go until you, like, throw up. And Dahlin, I think, is just on another level, like, where it just doesn't happen with him. So maybe that's an explanation here, but I don't know that for sure. Dahlin, I could tell you, he skated the most miles in the league this year. Like, the whole NHL, they're now tracking that with this new player tracking thing they have. Dahlin skated the most miles of any player in the NHL this year. So I'm not saying you're wrong, Michael. I just think it might be more, that might be more commentary of how insanely fit Dahlin is than any criticism of the other guys.
Yeah, and I'll echo that, Michael. And I say that, look, I just said a little while ago, I do think that there's some sort of culture issue. Not that they're bad people, that kind of culture, but the competitiveness, the leadership, that kind of culture issue. But I agree with you, Joe. And Michael, I know you just dropped off. I was holding you on there. I wanted to say this, but hopefully you're listening. I don't think that just because people couldn't finish the test in like Dahlin did, that means that they came in out of shape. I just think it means it's a tough test. I watched the documentary Swamp Kings, and I told you about this a couple weeks ago, Joe. I was on the plane going to Australia. I watched Swamp Kings. That's the documentary on Urban Meyer's Florida Gators, right?
Yep.
And it actually, when Michael just talked about this, it reminded me, in that documentary, one of the things Urban Meyer did with the Gators, like at practice, was he had this drill where he put them on a wrestling mat, two guys, one on one on a wrestling mat. And apparently the idea is, and I never fully grasp it, but apparently the idea is, I have to prevent you from getting off the mat. You have to prevent me from getting off the mat. We can't stand up. Like, there's a, we lock, and like, I got to get off the mat. You got to get off the mat. It's not trying to pin somebody. I got to prevent, and you got to prevent me any way we can, essentially. And we just go at it by pulling each other, grabbing each other, rolling around with each other like crazy. And as long as you don't get off the mat, and as long as I don't get, it goes on. It just keeps going on. And these dudes are throwing up, and they're just incredibly gassed, and they come out, and every one of them said, it's the hardest thing I ever did in my life. These are finely tuned athletes, and these are guys like Tim Tebow and Brandon Spikes and all these guys. Sometimes the test is just really tough, right? I mean, I don't think that means that they're out of shape. It just means that what they were doing was really hard. Now, all of that said, okay, I do think, though, there's something to be said for upping that type of competitiveness and compete, and when the season starts and being ready to play. I just don't know if that's the necessary first example I want to give of that. You could say if they played better early in the season, they'd be in the playoffs. Maybe. I don't know that. Sure, you can go back and look at some of the wins they didn't have and some of the records they have to start the year, but it's the butterfly effect. Who's to say that if they would have started better, they would have maybe not played as well later in the season? So I'm not going to go that far. I do think there's something to be said, though, Joe, for there's something going on there where they're not quite to the level of where they need to be to compete with other people, considering the talent they have. And he said that yesterday. He said, no, the accountability, the young, these are not excuses anymore.
Yeah.
They have to be able to do that. There's something that they need on that level. I just don't know what it is.
I will point out that while this is a lot of what Adams had to say yesterday when he was talking about the players, you're not going to hear him, I don't think, even in his most honest moment there, say that his group isn't talented enough. Like, it's just, it's never going to come out of his mouth that they're not talented enough. He has to believe they're talented enough because he's already paid them. You know, like, they're here. They have to be talented enough. But I do wonder if that's a part of it, and maybe even a bigger part of it, is we think it's more the habits or it could be the culture inside the locker room. They could square that all away, and it could end up in the same spot where, oh, no, actually, you guys just weren't talented as you thought you were. I'm hoping that is not the answer, because the other one should be more solvable, I think, given their current state.
Joe, if he comes out and says we're not talented enough, he's indicting himself.
Well, right,
now, he did a little bit yesterday anyway and say, look, it's on me. And he basically took ownership of not you know, doing what they needed to do with the Jack Quinn injury. But to his defense, and I agree with this, they didn't know he'd be hurt twice, right?
Right.
But he also said they looked at every scenario, they declined. And I think that there was a bit of regret there of maybe they should have done something else. So he did take ownership of that. But if he comes out and says we're not talented enough, he just told Terry Pegula, like you said, hey, by the way, I constructed a roster that's not talented enough and I already spent money on these guys you gave me.
Right. Yeah, so that can't be an answer for him. Because Brandon Bean's comment about Josh Allen is, well, if he's not good, it doesn't matter because I won't be here anyway, or something along those lines. Like, that's kind of Adams in this front. Like, well, it doesn't even matter because if Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, and Owen Power and Dahlin aren't good enough as a core of a hockey team, it won't matter because I won't be here anyway.
John and Clarence. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to touch on something that might sound trivial, but over the past few years, we're having an awful difficult time winning home games, and you could have talent. I believe we have talent, but where is the focus? I mean, I played sports all my life, and I think a formula is you should be able to win 60 to 65% of your home games, and we're not even capable of doing that. And where's the focus at home? I mean, that should be a comfortable place. And that always puzzled me, because if you look at the schedule, I mean, if you look at the records, you know, you guys are right. We've scored more goals than some of these teams that are in the playoffs. And all it took is maybe another two or three home wins. And this is a totally different conversation. And it seems year after year we're discussing the same thing. And I just want your idea on that, and I'll hang up. Thanks again for taking my call.
The home thing is it's a tough thing to reconcile, Joe. I don't really know. We've heard them talk about gripping their sticks too tight and wanting to perform better. I get that. You can have a little bit of that pressure, but doesn't that go towards the overall point of, yeah, you know what's funny? One thing I disagree, it was really interesting what Kevin Adams said. This goes to the point of the caller, what he just made. He's talking about home, why they can't play as well. Adams has talked about this, and Granato, and you're gripping the stick a little tighter, you're at home, you want to perform well, I get it. But man, Kevin Adams yesterday, Joe, just went off on don't tell me about pressure. These guys are scouted since they're 14 years old to get to the highest level, mm-hmm. and they've had pressure their whole lives. And that's not true. Of course that's true, right? I mean, to get to where you are in the NHL, there's pressure. But I actually don't agree with him that his team is just naturally able to handle pressure because of that. We've seen it. The proof is they were awful every single time they had a really good look at getting into a playoff spot.
But that was all season, wasn't it? Like, the whole year was that. And they never went on a run. They also never went on a long losing streak. So it's not like they collapsed right. under it. They just, that's, you know, they were an average hockey team. Like, I don't know. I tend to agree with Adams on that front that is something that a coach, and this is not what Adams said, that is something that a coach says because he has to come up with 43 different reasons over the course of a year of why they lost a hockey game. So he plays the hits. Like, that's one thing he can say after every game, because otherwise, like, just you run out of reasons. You run out of reasons why you lost a hockey game when you've lost 45 games in the course of a season. I don't know. I'm not saying it's completely worthless, but
go ahead. I think there's a difference, Joe, between, like, a big picture pressure of I have to work my ass off every single day if I want to get to the highest level of my profession. Right? That's one. But once you're there, the pressure of competing under the microscope of a game to win every shift, battling for a puck, I think those are two different pressures.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead.
No, that's how I understood it. And what he lumps them the same. I don't. I think there's a different pressure, and I think it goes to why they don't play well at home. I do think that they have not handled being in those types of environments very well over the last couple of years.
Well, there's that stat out there. This is part of it. There's that stat out there of the Sabres' record when the building is more than like 16,000 fans, and it's really good. And maybe it's just, is there a deflation maybe when the building's not full of just, there's not as much energy? I don't know. They played better on the road the last 2 years, and they played well when the building was full. So maybe there's something to that.
Lance Lysowski, I'm reading what he just tweeted about Alex Tuch in the locker room. Alex Tuch said he wasn't surprised that missing the playoffs for a 13th year in a row led to changes. How about this, though, Joe? He repeated, Alex Tuch is, the Sabres players are craving accountability. What? I just don't get it. Like, you got to craving accountability. You're play. So, okay, then. You got to have get somebody in there.
Right.
Who can do this from a player standpoint. All right, Luke Lipinski is going to join us right now, and we appreciate Luke. He covers the Arizona Coyotes and out there with Arizona Sports, AZ Sports 98.7 FM. Luke, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us here. I know it's a lot earlier over there in Arizona.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
We're just talking about the Sabres end of the season here and, you know, them missing the playoffs for a 13th straight year, but we're not talking about the same kind of thing you are out there in Arizona, which is maybe not even having a team next year to root for their fans. What is the latest on where the Arizona Coyotes are going to be playing starting in 2024?
Well, I tell you, even just hearing you guys talk about, like, Alex Tuch, I already got, like, jealous for next year, potentially. Like, I want to be having these Alex Tuch-type conversations. Nothing like, specifically new today from what you guys haven't already heard. I think now it's just kind of a waiting game to see if something happens later this week. You know, the little bit of hope I think the Coyotes fans would still be clinging to is that the league would wait to see how that land vote goes in North Scottsdale on June 27th. But I mean, all indications have certainly been that it's not going to make it that long. So it's just kind of a waiting game after tonight.
So diving through all that's happening, I'm assuming haven't gone through this with like a relocation. It doesn't happen that often in sports. I mean, it's just got to be a miserable existence as you find out that it could be ending or will be ending. Is there any solace at all in that the league seems, and Bettman maybe even specifically, determined to not leave the market forever?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of mixed emotions, right? Because I understand if this team really does leave, especially now, this has been hanging over this fan base for 15 years, honestly. And for 15 years, Gary Bettman has done everything to keep this team here. So I understand frustration if they really do leave. It's going to be directed at the commissioner. I get that because he's the commissioner and he gets paid a lot of money in some ways to take that frustration. But he has really done a lot to keep this team here because he believes in this market. And, I know it's tough sometimes for people to see from the outside, but hockey is doing great in Phoenix. It's just the Coyotes have had their issues over the years. But if you go around, I mean, you have like 9 different places around town where there's youth hockey and adult leagues, and the game is growing. You see all these players in the league now that are from Scottsdale and Phoenix. It's not just Austin Matthews. There's about a dozen of them now. It's Tage Thompson. So there's, and they're usually pretty good ones randomly, but that stuff wasn't, happening before there was an NHL team. That stuff really hasn't even started to happen yet with, as far as players from Seattle or Vegas. So it takes a little bit of time. So I understand the commitment to the market, but it's also that it's at best bittersweet if this really happens right now.
Luke, if they move, who is everyone going to blame? Who's this on? Who are you going to be taking calls from? When you take calls from people, I should say, and fans, who are they, number one, going to say, this is on this person or this group of people, it's their fault?
Yeah, there's probably plenty of blame to go around. and a lot of it is people that aren't involved in sports. For me, I'm not going to say it as like a blame thing, but I was asked earlier in an interview today, like, where did this really turn? Because, again, this has been hanging over the Coyotes since 2009. But to me, where it really turned is last May when they had that vote to put an arena in Tempe. And, that was the first time for me, and I've worked for the team all 15 years. This is my job right out of college. I remember going to bankruptcy hearings when I was still in college just because I didn't want the team to leave. So to me, not getting that vote for that arena in Tempe is where it all went downhill for me, because that was a great deal also for the city. If you take the hockey side out of it, and I live in Tempe, if you took the hockey part out of it, it was a great deal. The team was paying to clean up an arena, and they weren't doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. They were getting something out of it too. But in retrospect, the Coyotes had this great deal for the city, but they, I don't think, got the word out well enough. And the opposition side, quite honestly, made a lot of stuff up, but they were organized, and that's all it took. And to me, that's, if they really leave, that's where it happened.
Yeah. Has that been a theme, maybe? Because I'm not you going to those bankruptcy hearings in college, but I remember maybe a few years ago, like, I'm watching a stream of a Glendale town council meeting or something about, their old arena. Like, has it maybe been a theme of them versus local governments that is kind of helping this situation get them pushed out?
I would say the local government, not everybody, but the local government hasn't really helped the Coyotes. Once you get politics involved, even if it is a great deal for the city, there's a lot more that's being left to chance. And, anybody that's lived in Phoenix or you've been here for, the Super Bowl or whatever, or the Final Four even this year, the arena out in Glendale, it's not close. It's not close to downtown Phoenix. And then most of the hockey rinks around town are east of downtown Phoenix. So it's even further from that. And so somebody like myself, I live and die hockey my whole life. I'm going to make the drive. And certainly, I'm getting paid to do the pre and post game show for a lot of those too, but that doesn't make the drive any shorter than 2 hours sometimes on a Tuesday night. So you factor that, the fact that they were way out there for the longest time and that they weren't winning for the longest time, and that after pretty much every season since 2009, you had to wonder if they were even going to come back. That, yeah, there's been a lot of those hearings, and there's been a lot of questions, and I give a lot of credit to the fan base, because the fans that are true fans kept buying in even when they were basically being mocked for it on social media. And that's probably the toughest part, is now this team's like legitimately getting good with Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther and Josh Doan and some of these young players, Matias Michelli. It's maybe the worst time for them to leave if they actually leave.
Yeah. You mentioned the arena in Glendale. My mom used to live in Fountain Hills, Arizona, and I think I remembered it being like an hour drive maybe to wherever the arena was. It definitely wasn't close. Is there... On that, this is, again, kind of more like, what's it like to be a fan right now? Because, you can guess, but do you see a lot of, resentment, or is it even more torturous that it feels like the hockey world is like, oh, thank God, finally?
Yeah, that's that's the frustrating part that I think a lot of people here have just had to sort of come to terms with, because I think for the most part, the fans are numb to it. I mean, it really, like I said, and I saw this quote somewhere the other day, and it summed it up really well, that the Coyotes are, as an organization, have had their issues for all the reasons we just laid out and a bunch of other ones. And it's not just this ownership group. There's been a bunch of different owners over the last 15 years, and the location and the losing and all these different things, and instability really puts a lot of weight on your fans. But there's a fan base here, and the game itself, even if there's fans here that aren't necessarily Coyotes fans, a lot of Blackhawks fans here, there's a lot of Red Wings fans here. Like, there are a lot of hockey fans in this city. I'm guessing there's a lot of hockey. There's probably more hockey fans in this city than there are people in Salt Lake City, you know, and not that I'm hoping it doesn't work there. If it goes there, I want the game to keep growing, but there's a lot of fans here that have heard that they don't exist for a long time. And yeah, it's just kind of, that's like salt in the wound. A lot of people celebrating that don't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that letter from that was published. The owner wrote to the mayor, right, about, hey, I want to do this. I want to make it work here. I want to buy this land, build this arena. We saw the complex over there. I'm like, okay, it appears to me from the outside looking in, Luke, that the owner was trying here, but the politicians, the mayor, like, we don't really care. Why not? Like, I know that there's always studies. We went through it here. They're building a new stadium here in Buffalo for the Bills, and there's always the, well, how much is it really worth? And then at the end of the day, you really want to be involved in pro sports. Do they just not care on that level? Like, why is that?
I think there's a certain level of misinformation. I know one of the big things is that it was going to cause too much traffic on the 101 here, which, you know, look, it's a hockey arena. It holds, what, 17,000 people? And for the most part, when everybody's leaving, is at 11:30 at night. I don't think there's a lot of traffic on the 101. Right. I live right next to the 101 at 11:30 at night on a Tuesday. So I just think there was a lot of misinformation that was either intentionally put out there by people or also just kind of people ran with it. And, you know, look, I love hockey. It's my favorite sport. It's the fourth sport here. I'm not like, you know, I'm not delusional. It's they're behind the Suns and the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks, but it's still a big deal to a lot of people. I just think when you get politics involved, and, you know, I also think this ownership group is fighting an uphill battle because of issues previous ownership groups have had. You know, the mayor of Scottsdale doesn't see, hey, this specific owner has tried twice to really give us a good situation. He just sees, oh, another Coyotes issue. And it's like, well, that's not something that happened with the Coyotes in 2009 is not Alex Morello's fault. You know what I mean? But he's kind of fighting the uphill battle on that.
Do you think Alex Morello will get a team back within the 5-year period that said that he will have?
You know, I grew up in Seattle, and they lost the Sonics, and the NBA's been telling them they would get their team back for, what, 17 years now, and the Sonics were a huge deal in Seattle. So I'm not going to say no. I do, like, you know, your earlier comment, I do really believe that Gary Bettman wants a team here, and Alex Morello does seem invested in trying to make this happen. So as long as that doesn't waver, you know, 6 months from now when it's kind of a story on the back burner around here, I mean, I think there's going to be a legitimate effort to make it happen. I just, you know, you got to see it happen, too, because it's a lot tougher to build an arena when there isn't a team.
Luke, before we let you go, let's pick apart the roster for 1 second, okay? I mean, maybe there's a deal to be made here. You got two teams that are trying to find their way. Got some young talent in both cities and both organizations. I'm looking at cap-friendly, Joe. 7 defensemen all. Every single one of them is either an RFA or a UFA, Luke.
Yeah, if you look at this, I was looking at it last week, and it was, again, bittersweet. This is the most goals the Coyotes have ever scored in the season. This is they have 6 20 goal scorers, which is the most they've ever had, like, by far. And Dylan Gunther, I think one day will be a 40 goal scorer, and he just hasn't played enough this year to even have 20 yet. I think he's got 17. He might get a hat trick tonight. Who knows? Make it 7. The Coyotes are set up front, which is something I've never been able to say since maybe, you know, when they had Keith Tkachuk and Shane Doan and Jeremy Roenick, maybe, but this year's team scored more. But they need defense. So if you got a defenseman and you want to trade for a forward, this is probably the team
Joe?
To make a deal with.
All right. Joe, what do you think?
We'll take a look. I kind of like the idea. Yeah. The do we talk about the player into this, Luke, before we let you go? Like, I know I've seen some reports about that, but where do you think the players stand on that? Because I know there's been frustration about playing at Mullet Arena. Maybe that's been more for visiting players, though. I don't know. And then also, there's been some of this, you know, them been caught off guard, relocation. Do they even want to go? What are you hearing on or seeing from players on this front?
My sense, my genuine sense from the players is that they want to play here. You know, again, no no disrespect to any other city that might be getting this team, but a lot of athletes like to live in Scottsdale or near Scottsdale. And I can talk about this from the perspective of I wasn't born here. I moved here. There is something about this city and kind of just how it defies logic, even being in the desert and how it's built up. And there's so many different like personalities to different parts of the city. And, you know, how hockey players like to golf, right? And Austin Matthews brings a lot of like Connor McDavid, a lot of those guys down here to train in the off season when it's 110 for some reason. So there's my honest sense is that the players wanted to stay here. And I don't think anybody on the Coyotes really minded Mullet Arena. I think that was more of an opposing team. Like you said, they would come in and be like, oh, this is weird. But I do think, and I can, you know, I can relate to them in this sense. I think they just wanted some stability to not have to hear in the middle of the season that they're going to move every year. And a lot of years that was unfounded, and that was people that wanted them to move from a different city 2,000 miles away, just kind of throwing it out there to stir some stuff up. But it's still been there, and they're still hearing it. And this year they were right next to a playoff spot. That story came out on January 24th, I think it was, and they lost 14 games in a row. And I find it hard to believe that at some level it wasn't starting to weigh on the players.
No doubt. Probably seems exactly like that. Luke, thanks a lot for joining us here today. I know you have a busy day.
Thanks,
I know it's
Luke.
Morning over there. We really appreciate it, though. Thank you very much for this.
Yeah, for sure. Take care, guys.
Okay, Luke Lipinski right there on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, let's hear from Jeff Skinner. We'll go to the Sabres locker room. I know Alex Tuck spoke as well, but we're going to get you some sound from the Sabres locker room. Our Paul Hamilton is down there. It's locker cleanout day. Sabres missed the playoffs for the 13th straight year. They have a head coaching change. They fired Don Granato. That search has started. We're taking your phone calls. We're talking about it today, and we're going to hear from the locker room next on the Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, let's head down to KeyBank Center where Paul Hamilton has been in the locker room with Sabres players Jeff Skinner on Locker Cleanout Day.
Well, Jeff, were you at all surprised with what happened yesterday with Don?
I mean, it's never a good feeling, I think, when you're a part of a team, and especially as players. Obviously, we didn't meet the goal, and that's a result of that, and we're a part of not meeting the goal. So, yeah, it's not a good feeling.
Kevin mentioned yesterday that just really it started with training camp where he didn't really like sort of the standard wasn't there. He was looking for more out of you guys. Do you feel like you guys never got on track? Maybe it started when everybody got here back in September?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think with hindsight you have the ability to reflect and you have sort of a clearer picture of things. I think obviously going through training camp, you try and prepare for the season as best you can, and it ended up not being good enough. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things where you can learn from it. Every training camp you go into, I think you have the opportunity to lean on past experiences, and you kind of take what you've learned in the past and use it moving forward. And I think that's what I or we or everyone in here will do moving forward into to next camp.
Something else Kevin mentioned yesterday was when looking for the next head coach, he wants head coaching pedigree, NHL experience, but also that you guys are craving accountability. I guess, what does that mean to you? And as someone who's been here for a long time, what are you looking for in the next head coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his job to kind of to lead the search and come up with the right coach. I think as players, I think you control what you can control, and I think that again, it's one of those things where you lean on past experiences and you take what you've learned and you move forward and you try and do your best with what you have, I think. And yeah, I think as a player, he's not much concerned about sort of the coaching search, because that's not our job, and I'm sure they'll get the right coach, and then as a player you get ready for camp and you get yourself ready to help the team.
Jeff, what does Donnie mean to you personally in your game?
Oh, I mean, I think he's a great guy, I think, first and foremost, I think, and he cares about his players. I think I've had a few coaches over my NHL career, and I think you can sort of take things from each one. Obviously, they're all coaches in NHL. It's the highest level. They've done a lot of good things to get where they are. And then I think each coach has sort of their own strengths and own sort of things that stand out about them. And for me, I think sort of how much he cares about his players is right at the top of the list. So I think, I really enjoyed getting to know him and working with him. And, I wish him all the best.
Jeff, what happened to that fun-loving team that came out with shorts on at the Heritage Classic in Hamilton? It looks like you guys were coming together at that time. I know it was 2 years ago, but there seemed to be, as Kevin pointed out, some hesitancy in the play this season. Just couldn't get it together. What happened to that fun-loving team back then?
Oh, I mean, every season is different. That was kind of like a snapshot of kind of a moment of time. Even going through that season, I think there was ups and downs. It just so happened we had some momentum at that time. And I think that's the challenge of playing in the NHL is sort of capturing that momentum and trying to extend it as long as you can. So there'll be ups and downs throughout careers, throughout seasons, and you find a way to manage them and move forward.
Jeff, well, quite a few of the players, including yourself, saw your goal totals go down this season. Why do you think that is? I know you can probably only speak for yourself, but why do you think so many of you saw your goal totals go down?
We didn't score as many goals, I think, is probably a short answer. I think the reason that happened, there's a number of variables that go into it. It's hard to say. It's hard to sort of pinpoint one reason and sort of expand on it. And then I think if there was an easy fix, we would have fixed it. But it's just one of those things where things weren't clicking or we didn't find a rhythm or offensively didn't sort of produce sort of up to the standard. And that's what the result was.
Jeff, what was the nature of the impact of the Nathan MacKinnon hit on you, and how much were you battling through that the rest of the season?
I think every guy plays through injuries at some point. I don't think there was any lasting effects or anything that was nagging at me. I'm 100% healthy, and that's about it.
How's it done? You were struggling when he took over, and you took off right after you took over and you had career seasons and all that. What happened? What did he specifically do for your career that made you find that extra level?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say one thing. It's also, I'm not disrespecting him at all. It's a group effort. I think when guys have good seasons individually, it's because the team's playing well. The team's clicking. Your line mates are playing well. It's obviously he's the coach and he's kind of steering the ship, and he has a lot to do with it. But I think as far as what he did, he's an NHL coach. He's a coach that's gotten to the pinnacle of coaching, and he's gotten there for a reason. He's a good coach. He tries to get the best out of his players, and that's kind of sort of how I think about it. And then everyone else has a role to play in that as well.
How does the group in this room need to respond after not only falling short of expectations, but it leading to another coaching change?
Yeah, I think no one in here is satisfied. Everyone is disappointed with the result and frustrated with the result, and I think moving forward, you use that as motivation in whatever way you choose, kind of. I think every person deals with that kind of thing differently, but I think there's no shortage of motivation and urgency for guys in this room to play up to our standard and to to keep raising that standard.
What was Kevin's message to you guys today?
I mean, I think to me it's kind of what I just said. I think, and again, it's if you want the message from him, I think you probably got a lot of it yesterday. I'm sure he'll speak again, but it's up to each guy to take kind of what they take from it, and I think it's about raising the standard and playing up to that. And I think that obviously we know we fell short of that, and no one's happy or satisfied with that, and now it's up to us to correct it.
How do you feel about your role moving forward, just given you know the way your ice time changed a little bit at the end of the year? What's your sense of where you fit in going next year?
I mean, I think I try and help the team win in whatever role. I think that I've been around long enough to sort of be able to evaluate my own play and sort of tweak it into when I'm not satisfied with it and know kind of what I can contribute and how it can help the team. And I think that's always someone's mindset, but I think the more experience you have, the more in tune you are with what you can bring, and I'm pretty comfortable with kind of where I'm at in that sense.
Kevin, competing consistently was an issue with the group. Is that something you need the next coach to address, or is that something that's got to come from you guys from within?
I don't know. I think it's comes from within, I guess. I mean, I think that everyone here is competitive. You don't get to the NHL sort of not being a competitive person. I think the flip side, everyone on the other team is competitive. So it's about bringing that intensity consistently. And when you slip up or you don't bring it if you don't bring it consistently, it may be, it looks like guys aren't competing, but I think it's more about consistently bringing it and not having any lapses or any moments where the other team can take advantage. And I think that's what every team's after. And I think that individually you find ways to kind of overcome that challenge. And then obviously as a group, it shows up, but so I guess, I mean, a little bit of both, I guess. I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, it's individual, but it's also it's something that sort of comes together as a result of things that you do, and it's more than one thing.
That is Sabres forward Jeff Skinner on Locker Cleanout Day down at KeyBank Center. Much more from Locker Cleanout Day, from what's happening down at KeyBank Center today. Paul Hamilton's on top of it. He's down there. We'll have sound for you at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can follow along with Paul at PHAM1717 and at WGR550.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up the Extra Point Show for the day here on a Wednesday on WGR. I mean, as you head over to Sabres Live... I'm going to dig into this ESPN article, Voted Off the Island, Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. Oh, it sounds juicy. Written by Don Van Natta Jr., Seth Wickersham, who's done a lot of the Patriots' investigative reporting over the last several years, and Jeremy Fowler, who is one of the most respected in the business at ESPN. Very interesting. Bill Belichick starts off and says, a few hours before the Falcons named Raheem Morris to be their next head coach, Bill Belichick believed the job was his. Okay, let's go. Digging into that. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. You're going to have a lot more from Locker Cleanout Day. One Bills Live after that. The draft is just in 8 days from now. And then Schopen the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Enjoy your Wednesday.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.